What's good, everybody? Talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show is on the way. We want to thank you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank our friends over at Norton Buffalo Foundation, presenting an evening with singer, songwriter, and activist Alice D. Michelle on Friday, April 22nd at Monca. Wait, that already happened.
What are you reading?
The underwriting, sir.
That already happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I hope you went and you checked it out and it was an awesome time. Because it sounds like a blast. So hit us up at TVP Not A Game on Instagram and let us know, how was Alice D. Michelle on Friday, April 22nd at Monca performing live?
That was quite a while ago.
Yeah. It was. Well, anyway, if that's any indication of how the rest of the show's going to go, I can promise you it'll be a beautiful train wreck. So sit back, relax, buckle up, kiddos, because it's going to be a mess. Let's have some fun. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Talking About Practice starts right now.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Drew Gilbert. What is good, everybody? No Derek Isamaki, no Rudy Vasquez, but we do have our producer extraordinaire, the bathroom bandit, the one, the only, Statman
Brock!
Yeah! You.
What's good?
Hello!
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello!
Hello!
Making his triumphant return.
Woo-hoo!
TVP, family member, brother in arms, our man, John Longsnapping Lukin.
I'm back, baby!
And in the background, we got our boy JJ from Boston, who's locked in.
A little preoccupied right
to
now.
To the Celtics-Milwaukee game. So you may hear him yelling, hopefully not cussing, but we'll do our best around here. But yeah, we're, you know, we got a gang in the building. We're missing people, so we just replace them with other friends. And that's what we do around here.
Yeah. Derek picked a real bad day to be sick.
Yeah. Well, he knew you were going to be on.
Oh, that...
No, he didn't. No.
But would it shock you?
You were saying?
Yeah, anyway, I'm happy y'all are all here. We have a big show for y'all. We'll talk some F1. We'll talk some golf. We'll talk some baseball. We're going to give you some gambling picks and a player haters ball on the way. But first, we are in the midst, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the midst of the NBA playoffs.
Woo!
Playoffs? We're all, we have a series in every game. We have a series.
Series in every game.
Every series is a series.
Series in every game.
Every game.
So happy to be back.
Is a series in the series. There will be no sweeps.
What in the world? What is going on?
There will be no
the underwriting again.
Yeah. Make sure you go check out Alice D. Michelle, April 22nd. So if you're hearing this, it is the future. Go back to April 22nd. You can check out April D. Michelle at Monca. Did you need something, Brad?
No. No, continue.
Let's all right. Continue. You want to talk NBA playoffs?
Yep, let's do that.
Every game is a series.
Yes, and there's only one series currently happening right now.
That's correct, Boston-Milwaukee. So there will be no sweeps in the second round. The second round is shaping up to actually be pretty entertaining. And I don't know if it was a shock, but I think a lot of people were kind of taken aback by the fact that both the Suns and Mavs and the Sixers and Heat are all knotted up at 2 apiece. And listen, this happens in the playoffs, right? Role players play better at home. That's why they are role players. What I think the biggest differentiator between superstars and role players and rotation guys is the fact that role players or superstars are consistent or have more of a level of consistency, right?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say so.
Home or away. So you got role players showing up at home, not so much on the road. Danny Green looked like Danny Green like that on the road, then looks like that at home. Two different players, right? And you could kind of do that across the board in all these series. But you do have the Mavs coming back, and I kind of wanted to talk about that. Luka didn't he didn't play up to Luka standards, I would say, yesterday. Yet they still are now tied up. Chris Paul had kind of a dud in, what was it, game 3 or was it game 4? I can't remember.
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, game 4 was the dud, though. I mean, more fouls than points.
Yeah.
Can't have that from Chris Paul. I mean, if we're talking top 5 point guard, top 10 point guard ever to play this game, you got to show up, especially in those moments.
Yeah, and so Chris Paul follows up a 14-for-14 performance with two games that were, not his best work. And for you Chris Paul haters out there, go ahead and feast. Go ahead. This is your moment. This is your time to shine, baby.
I feel like Chris Paul is one of those players that's I saved myself. I've been off the air for a while, and I just saved myself.
No, good. Thank you.
He's a mental little person. You know, he just really gets in his own head, pun intended. And I feel like with, you know, obviously game 4 with the stuff kind of happening off the court, obviously he's frustrated fouling out that early into fourth quarter. But you just see this time and time again in the playoffs with him, with the Clippers, Rockets, you see this kind of demise with Chris Paul. And I feel like it always comes from that mental game.
Yeah, I don't want to call him mentally frail because that dude has shown up in some big spots.
Eat more protein. Red meat.
But I do think it's... I do want to talk about the off-the-court stuff. So basically, he came out and said that his family was physically assaulted by a teenager, right? And I don't know... no details have come out about this, but his tweet was basically like, you know... the media gets on players for going at fans, but where's the same treatment for fans going at players and physically assaulting players' families? So a young man, I think it was 14 or 16, got escorted out of the game in Dallas after allegedly there was something that went down between that fan and Chris Paul's family.
It sounded like heckling gone too far.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem that it's been with most people that go to these events and pay for a ticket. They instantly assume that they have free range, which is not the case. You know, it's never acceptable to do that just because it's someone else's family. I mean, his kids are under the age of 10, you know, so it's just one of those kind of unfortunate incidences where I don't blame Chris Paul for acting out and doing what he did. You know, it's protecting his family.
Yeah.
You know, it's bigger than basketball at that point. You know, I mean, who cares about a playoff series when your kids or your mother or your wife is, you know, in harm's way? So I just think as fans, I'm all for heckling, you know, by all means. You know me, I lose my voice in the fourth inning.
Right.
You know, but it's you got to understand that. You know, there's a fine line between heckling and just, you know, being disrespectful.
Yeah, I think fans definitely feel entitled, and I think it far too often crosses the line. And, you know, I don't know what happened during the pandemic, but it seems since fans have come back into the arena, it's gotten so much worse. And I don't really understand it. I mean, I get the fun-spirited heckling, making fun of the player or the way he plays or something like that. But when you take it, I always think the line is when you go personal with the family or anything like that, like just leave the family out of it. You know, you could go ahead and give Chris Paul a hard time for playing terrible. That's fine. Yeah. You know? But I mean, it does definitely cross the line. So I wasn't surprised to see him go at, I mean, and we've seen this before, right? Like Isaiah Thomas went into the crowd a few years back. Was he still on Boston at that point? I can't remember. But went into the crowd because someone crossed the line. And these right. things.
Oh, it was Marcus Smart with Boston.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And this, you just see it more and more. But that series is now all tied up. And I feel like there's an immense amount of pressure on Chris Paul as the years pass and he still hasn't won a championship. He finally got to the finals last year. And now his team goes in as a number one seed and going into the playoffs, the Vegas odds-on favorite to win the finals. And, you know, now we go back 2-2. And your concern, if you're Phoenix, is will Luka have one of those games? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that the Mavs will beat them at home. The Mavs have to win a game in Phoenix in order to win the series. But it's not, I don't think anyone would be shocked if Luka has a game seven where he goes off for 45 points or something.
Well, I mean, the Suns did this in their first series, right? Against the Pelicans. Just that series alone. You know, they were able to fight out of it and come back and win that series because, you know, Brandon Ingram was still not at that step yet.
He balled for a lot of that series.
He did really well. I mean, a lot of those players did really, but it wasn't enough to overcome, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't think you can do that with this Mavs team, especially with a superstar in Luka that can, at any point, can go off for 45.
Yeah, I mean, and that last series, keep in mind, Devin Booker was out with that hamstring for a couple games, so... yeah, we'll see. We have it's a best of three. The person who can win two of the next three, they advance, obviously.
Every game's a series.
Yep.
Every game is a series.
So we'll see. Now we also have Philly coming back. Everyone was putting dirt all over Philly. They were in the casket. The casket was getting lowered. And the media was already, and Philly fans for that matter, were already throwing dirt.
Well, but Philly fans are pretty vicious towards their own team.
They're awful.
No doubt. They threw batteries at Santa Claus.
They're awful.
They what?
Yeah.
When?
It started with snowballs.
Then ended up with batteries. Yeah.
Like what size, though?
Does
like,
it matter?
Yes,
that?
It does.
Terrible question.
Like, no. If they're AAAs, they're not that bad. But if
Let me throw a AAA at you.
Yeah. I think that would suck.
I mean, it would suck, but I mean,
no,
like,
what sucks?
If it's a big,
what's your comment?
If it's a big, if it's like a C, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible no matter what, Brad. It's batteries being thrown at you.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
They missed Embiid as out, though. And then play
it. Embiid was out for two games, and now he's back, and Philly looked great. James Harden looked like James Harden of yesteryear. Does anyone else find it funny that he looks so much slimmer in the games they win? When he plays well, he looks so much slimmer. And when he's playing terrible, he looks so much fatter. James Harden, I swear to God, his weight fluctuates like mine. Like, you could tell when he's had a long weekend. Just like after I've had a long weekend, I'm like, damn, this shirt doesn't fit exactly the same as it did on Thursday. Now on Monday, not fitting as well, you know? James Harden, from game to game, I swear, he looks great when he's playing great. And when he doesn't, he looks like he's 25 pounds heavier. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, I mean, he's looked great 10 times this year.
Yeah, well, it's been a rough year for James
Harden.
He's
played, what, only 15?
What? Brad, mute your mic, please.
Philly is back in this series, though. A series that we all thought was over.
Don't get snappy with me.
Well, be just, a little better.
You
expect better?
But B is also, it's been a while. I'm making up for lost time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you got a long time to go.
I mean, Rudy doesn't give you hard enough time. He's docile.
He's quiet. He's very quiet.
Docile.
Right.
We got the teacher over here.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Harden, less fat, and wins. That was my point. Okay. That's it. We're good there?
So if tomorrow night he comes out looking fat, we're laying everything towards the Heat.
Well, I think he only looks fat based on the result of the game.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to tell if he's going to be, you know, we have to wait until the game concludes to see was he indeed fat and overweight or was he trim? We won't know. You know, we have to wait to see who wins. Math, dude. Science.
I don't do math.
Yeah, that's true. Not on air.
Not on air, at least.
Milwaukee is up by one at halftime, by the way, everyone. So there you go. in-game live update. Speaking of hard-hitting news.
JJ just gave you such a scowl. He just... It wasn't needed. I feel like, I mean, obviously we're on a sports radio show, so it had to be said, but...
I mean, it definitely did not have to be said. Some of these people are listening on the podcast, and they already know the results of this game. So they don't care, but I will say, speaking of breaking news, Steve Kerr just got tested positive for COVID.
What?
So that's interesting.
Dun, dun.
So let's transition into that series. Ja has not officially been listed as out yet, has he?
He has.
He has been listed as out.
I just saw something this morning that said he's out for game four.
Okay, so I guess he is out then.
With a considerable limp, visual limp on the court today. Yeah.
Interesting. What'd y'all think about Ja saying broke the code on that play?
Poppycock.
It was BS.
He didn't even hurt himself on that play.
So
it was like a minute later when he went to jump and contest. I think it was a
Clay's three,
and came down on his leg weird.
So Ja Morant went out of the game with an apparent knee injury, and there was a replay of Jordan Poole trying to strip the ball from him and grabbing his knee there. And Ja Morant had a tweet that said, "Broke the code." I'm so tired of these players tweeting these passive-aggressive things and not following teams and following teams. Devo just refollowed the Niners.
Oh, my God.
Don't care.
It's a high school relationship.
Yes, let's... thank you.
Unfollow,
really
block, unblock, follow. I mean, I'm not hating. I used to be there.
Cryptid, yeah. Yeah, he really were. When you start...
What's funny is everyone in this room knows.
Whenever my friends start posting quotes... I get concerned. That's when I'm like, oh, bleep. I got to reach out to homie. Like, hey, bud. What's going on? You good? You all right?
Motivational quotes.
A lot of motivational quotes lately. Everything.
So is that what it takes to get your attention? The motivational quotes? Just for, you know, asking for a friend.
What?
Bad.
Never mind. I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to go get some water.
Brad, you've been bad today.
He's back. I don't know what to do right now. I really don't. I'm not in my element anymore.
So
having him back.
Have you learned nothing since I've been gone, Brad?
I was actually doing pretty well these past couple weeks, and then you came along, and now it's just gone down the drain.
Yeah, I will take what people lie about for 1,000, Alex.
I will give Brad this.
Only like 300.
The last few weeks, Brad has had at least one really good one-liner, and that's been about
per show, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's been about it, but he has been contributing. I don't know what's going on. You're really throwing him off his game, I suppose, is his excuse. I think he's playing like it's a road game. He's a role player. Yeah. He's on the road, and he is just struggling today.
Exactly.
He's
Danny Green in Miami.
Exactly. He's missing wide-open threes. He's missing free throws. He's an 85% free throw shooter, and today, man, it's been tough. There's been a lid on the rim. But anyway, going back to Golden State and the Grizz, so we have game four tonight, Golden State at home, and I always thought that Golden State, just their experience in the playoffs, I just think they're a better team. I do think losing GP2 for 3 to 5 weeks really,
huge,
really hurts their final chances, and certainly their chances of winning a championship this year. I think... all but went out the window when GP2 got hurt, because you think about their perimeter players, their best perimeter players, right, and Steph, Clay, and Jordan Poole. Clay is a shadow of himself on defense. He used to be a first team all...
I'd rather him be out there for defense than offense lately, though. I mean, I feel like he's... I get it. You know, 2 years off, you got to take those looks. You got to get back into that rhythm, but... man, some of those games going 5 for 19, 4 for 17, like it's tough to watch, you know. And it's Kerr leaving him out there to try to find that pace. But honestly, I'd rather have him out there. I think he will do okay. And it depends on matchup, really, right? Like this series with the Grizzly, I think, is the most crucial for Gary Payton Jr. to be in there. Obviously, with Morant and just how kind of quick their first step is, his length, as you know, in his kind of size category, I think is a great matchup for Ja. But kind of, you know, pulled a lucky, you know, stick there with Ja's injury, probably out one game, maybe two. But at the same time, you know, if we get the Suns, you know, we're really going to need him for Chris Paul. you know, GP2. We're really going to need him. And that's desperately going to hurt us.
That's where you're really worried about it is – is I think the Warriors will escape. I said the moment they lost, I tweeted out Warriors in five. I don't think this series is going to be a long series. Not saying the Grizzlies can't steal one. I think the Warriors are just, the Warriors should put them away tonight. And if they do, I don't think they're going to mess around.
Yeah.
And,
and like you said, the experience comes in. I think watching those first two games, you know, back and forth, most would say Grizzlies kind of had the advantage throughout the game just because Warriors, they haven't been playing to their caliber that we're used to them, you know, playing to. But the Grizzlies, every game, were throwing everything they had, right? You know, it's coming down to last shots. It's coming, you know, coming down to those late third quarter, early fourth quarter runs. Like, they threw everything, and the Warriors were, you know, not really finding their pace, not really finding their rhythm. I think it's, without Ja, I think the writing's on the wall as far as, you know, I don't think they can withstand the experience and just the overall, what's the word I'm looking for as far as great live audio?
Wow. Are you talking about like just the playoff?
Composure. Thank you, Brad, for saying that. It's funny, when you talk, I seem to remember what I have to say and I'm just going to cut you off.
Because you want
to,
shut me up? Yeah. Is that what it is?
No, I'm just kidding, Brad. I love you.
No, you don't.
It's
anyways,
good to see you.
I mean, so you're not going to say that the record that they had in the regular season is going to somewhat translate or have some effect in the playoffs?
Without
they were 20
Ja?
And 5, yeah. 20 and 5 without Ja in the regular season. And yeah, they had that big run.
Look at that stretch. They are one of the best teams at home this year.
Yeah.
And that 20-2, you know, run, they had, I think, 14, 15 of those games were at home. There's a lot of, you know, advanced metrics that you could really use to look at the success.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, we all know, I think I speak for the room when we say playoff basketball is a different beast.
It's completely different, yes.
You know, it's a completely different. I mean, we look at some of, you know, even the Heat, you know, with some of their young guys, that the last two games killed it in the last series. These last two games, they haven't even seen the floor, right? You know, 2-3 minutes here and there for those young guys. And it's, you know, mainly the thought of, well, these, you know, they haven't really seen the stage yet. We don't want them to kind of collapse under that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan Robinson, you know, kind of one of those type of guys where they haven't lived up to that moment yet. And the Grizzlies don't really have any other option. You know, all their best guys are young guys.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't have anyone to kind of veteran to substitute them with. Mm-hmm. So you leave them out there, I think it's eventually going to catch up. That experience is going to catch up with them.
Yeah, but looking at it, even if they don't make it out of this playoff or this round, this is going to be the best thing for them, is to get a lot of these younger guys in there for this next few years. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You're talking about the Grizzlies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
the Grizzlies
I think we can all agree that the Grizzlies are kind of like we looked at the Bengals this year in the NFL. Like, they're probably one or two seasons ahead of where they're supposed to be.
Agreed.
Like, I could see 2-3 years from now the Grizzlies being a top, you know, three, top two contender in the West.
Still being in the conference
for
finals.
The next 3 years after that. But right now, I think we're all kind of under the understanding that these guys are super young. These guys are 22, 21 years old. You know, and in the first kind of limelight, I mean, obviously they went to big universities, and I mean, maybe not Ja, but a lot of these guys, Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, so they've played under the lights, but it's a different beast, man.
And keep in mind, Memphis had to come from behind in 6 of their 10 playoff games. They've been down by double digits or more. Excuse me. And in 3 games in a row in Minnesota, or against Minnesota, they were down double digits in the fourth quarter. I just cannot confidently believe in a team that is constantly behind by double digits in the playoffs, especially late in playoff games, to just flip a switch and all of a sudden start dominating. I don't see that. And without Ja, keep in mind, again, Ja had to score 47 in that last game against the Warriors, or in the last game that he played start to finish, for them to eke out that victory. And the Warriors, that was one of the worst shooting performances I've seen from them.
And one of the worst. Ja, that entire game was going, I feel like he's not great going to his right. He is all left. He has those quick pull-ups, kind of like the Derrick Rose days, you know, where it's just, he's driving, he's just going to pull up and, you know, a little bank shot. He did that probably 10 straight possessions, and no one could stop him. You know, I just think it was just a complete lapse on defense, offense, just that off night.
Well, and the fact that they weren't really hunting him in game 2 on offense. When he was on defense, I thought they should have been going at him every time down the court to make him work. You know, like, he is young, but you go at him on every other possession, he's going to wear down a little bit, one would think. And he still had juice for the end of the game, obviously, to get finish that puppy out. But they got blown out in the last game. And with no Ja, I just don't see it. Regardless of Steve Kerr's coaching status, the Warriors are a veteran team. I just don't see Memphis getting the win tonight. And these are the games where you knock on wood because funny things happen. But it is the playoffs. And the Warriors, by far more than any other team combined, have the most playoff experience out of any roster by a lot.
Right. So, what I think looking, I would assume that the Suns are gonna figure it out and win that series. Just naturally them being the best team all year. And we're gonna need that. We're gonna need that series to go 6-7 games. You know, and with Ja, it's unfortunate. I don't want anyone to be hurt as far as, you know, the quality of game that I'm seeing in the playoffs, but it's a blessing for the Warriors because we could, you know, easily finish this in 5, probably 6, and have, you know, a few more days off before we have to see those Suns.
Yeah, no, totally agreed.
Can I say something real quick?
Oh, yeah, jump on.
So I'm just going to say that the Grizzlies are 20-4 this season without Ja in the lineup. 20-4.
Look at that stat. Stat man, Brad.
Are you sure it wasn't 20-5?
20-4.
All right, that one up.
You can double check it.
I will. Don't worry, I will.
He always does.
Winning record, nonetheless.
Yeah, no, they killed it without Ja. But I just on the road in Game 4.
Right. This is one of those things you're saying. Those young guys. I mean, Desmond Bane.
20-5. That 20-5.
That guy is legit. He is going to be legit. But again, I feel like that inexperience, you've seen him in this Warriors series, he really hasn't shown up like he did in that first series, you know, against the T-Wolves. So it's one of those things where it's, Ja's out, but Jaren Jackson Jr. is really the only guy that has that confidence going into this game, I feel like, as far as, you know, where they're at with this series.
Agreed. All right, let's switch gears. Pun intended. I just wanted to talk F1 real quick. F1 came to Miami for the first time, the Grand Prix USA, or was it Grand Prix America? I can't remember. I want to say Grand Prix USA. Anyway, Max Verstappen gets the win. He is in second place on the standings for the season. Leclerc is still in first place for Ferrari. But did y'all see all the celebrities that turned out?
It was like the Kentucky Derby 2.0.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
You got to think. I mean, I'm not privy to the weather in Miami this time of year, but you got to think it was scorching. Like, it's the humidity out there. Those guys.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Dolled up like that.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah, it seems rough. But it is good to see F1 in the U.S.
They have a few more in the U.S., right?
They have year? Austin in October.
Let's go.
Yeah, so F1 is absolutely taking over. That Driver series on Netflix absolutely blew F1 up. It is the trendy thing to do now. It's a trendy thing to follow, huh?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you would.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's
good for world. What do you think, Brad?
I actually enjoyed it. I watched a little bit of it this weekend.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It makes you care a lot more about it.
Well, especially when they start coming to America, it's a lot more fun and gets you a little more interactive because you start recognizing people that are there.
Right.
Definitely the Netflix series got me a little bit more interested in having a lot of friends that are watching
right.
and talking
driver's
about it.
Names.
And they start becoming more familiar cars, and you're actually able to kind of figure out what team you can kind of root for. I'm rooting for Haas just because it's an American brand right there. So
you would.
Yeah. America, baby.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Oh, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm your co-host, Drew Gilbert. Alongside me, John Lucan makes his triumphant return. When was the last time you were on the show? It's been a while. Like,
over
physically.
A year.
Yeah, it's been that long since
over
you're physically
year.
Here? Yeah, okay. Of course, that
seems probably
Brad.
Like 10.
Yeah, I do have something. So Memphis without Ja, 9-4 at home, 11-1 on the road. By the way, Just wanted to let you know.
That doesn't bode well for the Warriors.
No, it does not. So you were saying that they played 15 games, it was only 13, and it was 9-4 at home.
You taking the Grizzlies tonight?
No, I'm just letting you know. your stats are wrong.
All right, Brad. Taking the Grizzlies tonight?
No.
So your stats are worthless.
No.
Golden State is minus 9.5 going into this game right now. So, yeah, that's...
Spoiler alert, I got it at 9.
Uh-oh. Hey, babe.
6?
Yeah, I mean, that series was right around 2.5, 3.5 the whole time. So, yeah, I'd put it right up with 6 or 7.
Once again, talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We want to thank our friends at Friends of the Arts, your local state partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing, supporting events, and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. All righty. So no Aaron today. Our foreign correspondent is out. She is traveling. But she did want us to... she did want to do a quick hockey update and just let everyone know her Colorado Avalanche are leading their series 3-0.
Fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah!
There you are, Aaron. I hope you're happy. This was your fault. All right. Sir, are you ready to do a North State update?
I am ready to do a North State update. Let's go. It's been a week.
Do we have the schedule?
Fair enough. It's been a while. It's been a week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're only a once a week type of a show.
I'm just going to.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. Ah, yes, time for that North State update. And it was a big weekend for not only baseball, but softball. With baseball, it was the last series against Cal State East Bay in Hayward. And it was a sweep. Chico State was desperate to keep that number 2 spot, but unable to keep it. Even with a sweep, they dropped the number 3 seed in the CCAA and will be playing against Cal State Dominguez Hills in the elimination game, or basically the play-in game for the CCAA playoffs. They will be playing against Cal State Dominguez Hills. Sonoma State, the number 4 seed, will be taking on number 5, Cal State San Bernardino. The highest seed will play against the number 2, Cal Poly Pomona, the lowest seed, against Cal State Monterey Bay. So if Chico State wins, automatically they'll be playing Cal Poly Pomona. That game will be Wednesday here at Chico State. Game is going to be at 3 p.m. Sonoma right after that at 7 p.m. If Chico State wins, they'll be playing Thursday at 3 p.m. against Cal Poly Pomona. So, root for them on Wednesday. Now going to Chico State softball. They finished up 2 weeks ago against Sonoma State, splitting that series, going into the CCAA tournament, playing against Sonoma State. Unfortunately, get the loss at Seaside in 8 innings, 5-6. That drops them to Cal State Dominguez Hills in a elimination game, and unfortunately, another loss. 5-6 is the score there, but there is a little bit of hope. They are going to be playing in the West Region playoffs, but against a familiar foe, against Cal State Dominguez Hills. Chico State gets the number 3 seed and will be playing Cal State Dominguez Hills at Cal State Irvine. So they'll be playing at Cal State Irvine on May 12th, which is Thursday. They'll be playing at 3 p.m. If they win, they'll play against Irvine or Azusa Pacific. That is your North State update.
Sweet.
So invested you are. So invested.
Thanks for being here, Brad.
I feel it.
Your efforts are needed. I want to talk a little baseball real quick.
Your outfits are getting
better. Wanted, but needed.
Your outfits are getting better.
Thank you. I've been trying. If you've been seeing on the the Instagram.
Yeah, you're matching somewhat.
It's a step in the right direction.
It is.
I'm still wearing sandals and it's cold.
That's true, but yeah. I mean, at least it's just like not...
I mean, honestly, from the beginning of this this show, like when I first started, it could only go up from there. Basketball shorts and sandals and a t-shirt and all of them did not match. Most of those are gone now, which is
so
nice.
So baseball. Somehow the Colorado Rockies have a one-game lead. No,
they're tied.
They're tied with the Giants for second in the NL West. And here's the issue. They have a minus 13 run differential.
Third, by the way.
And I'm sorry, San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego second.
Right. My bad.
It's okay.
The division is right there with each other.
Yeah. They're all within, what?
Four games.
A game. Yeah. Well, of the lead, yeah, probably four games, I would say. Yeah. 15, I think, is the lowest record.
Until after the All-Star break.
Thank you.
Yeah, agreed. They're all within 2.5 games. Oh, wait.
Nope, four.
Four games, you're right. Yeah,
yeah, but Colorado Rockies, if you look at their schedule, they really haven't played, short of the Dodgers, I don't think they've played very
They haven't played anyone, teams. And that's been my point all season, is the Rockies' record looks really good, but they played that opening round, which they did win against the opening series against the Dodgers, which they won 2-3, and then but after that, they really haven't played anyone. Giants have been hurt or been COVID-y, so again, not too concerned about it. The Dodgers should win this division. The Dodgers are just loaded. I mean, their pitching stuff, okay, but I mean, their lineup is unbelievable.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, Chris Taylor is their number eight batter, and that dude could probably bat three on most squads.
Yeah. I mean, their pitching staff right now is a 2.01 ERA combined, so they are just dealing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I know. Then we'll see. We got 162 games.
But the funny thing is, like, that was
we'll blow it.
The question mark is that pitching staff is, can they perform? Because they lost quite a bit of guys that were mainstays on that team.
But then picked up Freddie Freeman and
not pitching. That was always the question. So, and they're performing. They're showing out, which is nice. Well, not nice, but it's good pitching to see.
What happened there? You really petered out at the end.
Well, I realized I was complimenting the Dodgers, and it didn't feel right. It didn't
totally
feel right.
Fair.
I was a baseball fan, and then I realized, wait, no, I can't be a fan of them.
That's totally fair, and I appreciate your honesty there.
All about the honesty. Just continue. You make me nervous, John.
Just hit my knee really hard.
Why is everyone falling apart?
I mean, I have an excuse. I haven't been here in a year, so
yeah.
I'm just nervous. I'm just excited to be here. You know, Brad, what's your excuse?
Been out of therapy for a month, so.
Oh,
dark.
My God.
Dark.
Okay.
Wow. Transitioning.
You.
Speaking of therapy, you want to talk betting?
Why not? Give me a second here. Let me cue you.
Old time's sake, huh?
Oh, I'm excited for this one.
All right, let's bring it back.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
That's right. Luke Into the Futures is back.
Hello.
Show me the money.
I haven't had anything on paper, obviously, not being here for the last year, but trending in the right direction.
Good.
Doing real well.
Love to hear it.
Tonight, we have just a simple homer type game. We got the Warriors at the Grizzlies. Starts in tip-off at 7. Mm-hmm. So get your picks in now. Warriors, -9. I even freaked out a little bit and bought it down to 7. And the over. Hear me out. 222. Buy it down to 220. Curry's going to have 36. Klay's having 25. Jordan Poole is going off for 40, boys.
Wow.
Did you parlay that?
Yeah, okay. Of course. Then I also have Panthers switching to the NHL. Panthers money line against the Capitals. It's pretty much been the Suns, if you will, of the NHL this year. Won the President's Cup.
Yep.
They've been the best team in hockey, and they have probably lost 8 of the last 9 quarters that they've played against the Capitals. So they are due for a victory.
They play periods, but yeah.
What did I say? 8 out of 9 periods?
Quarters. Quarters.
Well, that wouldn't even make sense.
No.
Math again.
No, it always trips
Math
you
on
out.
Air. Always gets me on air. Dang it.
Well, it's just terminology.
Periods. 9 periods would be 3 games.
Yes.
They lost 8 of 9 of them.
8 of 9.
All right. I think we got there.
All right.
There we go.
And have to give out a little shout out to the old Grand Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
It was this last weekend. Just a great spectacle. It just never ceases to amaze me. The outfits, the hats, the pageantry, everything. The tiny little jockeys. They're so cute. But we had a crazy finish. I don't know if you guys watched that. Saw the highlights. Yep. Brad, help me with your duties on the name of that horse. Pine Sol. What was that guy's name? What was that horse's name?
Rich Strike.
Thank you.
I don't even need to look that one up.
Thank you.
Super redneck owners. I love it.
Okay, Brad. okay, Brad. 80 to 1, this horse to win. 80 to 1. The last leg of this race, he was in 12th. Somehow finds the lane and wins at 80 to 1.
Hit the nose.
And and that is your North State update. Hammer Warriors, -7, the over, 220. You won't go wrong. Rudy, I love you.
I like it. Oops. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, let's bring it back. It's been a while.
I was going to say, did you see that horse like biting everything that was around it?
Yeah, he was excited.
Hey, I saw a horse scratch its head with its hind leg this weekend like a dog, and I didn't know horses did that.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
Did you film this?
No, it just drove by. It did.
What?
Yeah.
Like a dog?
Yeah.
Was it sitting?
No, standing.
Wow.
And put its head down.
Like its back leg?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
That's a flexible horse.
Oh, man. Hey. Why you wanna play a hate on me?
Oh, that's right. We haven't been hating too much around here lately. Maybe it's because of Derek's absence. I'm not exactly sure. As we all know, Derek drinks. His sustenance is the tears of upset fans. But it's time to bring the hate back. This past week in LA, there was a comedy show in which a patron of said comedy show decided to run on stage and promptly caught a quick beat him down at the hands of some of Dave Chappelle's security team, Busta Rhymes, who, not the dude I'm trying to fight. I don't care if he is, like, damn near 50. Not ever trying to find Busta Rhymes. Fight Busta Rhymes. He has a line that says, "Woo-ha got you all in check, and all I wonder is if he yelled that while stomping said patron out." The man who was later detained caught quite the beat him down. And my question is, where is the security? Okay, I get it at the Oscars. Will Smith runs on stage.
Opens the door.
But at least there you don't nearly expect anything crazy to happen.
Let's just get this out in the open. Comedy is entertainment. It's an art form. Do not buy a ticket if you are easily offended. Because they are talking about satire. They are talking about things in our culture and our society that is prevalent. And it might not be their views, but it is funny because it's everywhere.
Well, even if it's not funny, their goal is to be funny, right?
And it's, right. Well, the art form is funny.
Yes. And I think it's the hardest version of performance art. I don't think there's anything harder, I imagine, than going on stage live with the expectation of say something funny, funny man or woman. You know, that's a difficult place to be. But no, I totally agree. I think the cancel culture is obviously out of control. But beyond that, where is the security?
It's Dave Chappelle of all people as well. You would think it would be Fort Knox with security.
You would think. You would hope. And I just don't understand. I saw a lot of comparisons saying that Will Smith opened the door for this. I don't know that that's the case. I can see the correlation, but I don't. I think this guy was just a dude with a vendetta that wanted to get some level of notoriety. And who shows up with a fake gun and a knife inside said fake gun? What an odd way to sneak in a knife. I can't think of a worse idea. That's like trying to smuggle drugs through TSA in the form of a bomb. Like, what are we doing?
That's a great analogy.
You know what I
that
mean?
That is spot on analogy.
Thank you. That was off the top of the dome. But I just,
that was impressive.
Thank you. I don't understand what he was doing down there, and I hope that the pictures of him with his arm just bent the other way and bloody nose and scrapes all over his face was a lesson to all of you. Don't rush the stage. And I'm sorry, if at the Minnesota,
stop gluing yourself to the floor.
Yeah, but did you see that one security guard that caught that chick two steps onto the floor
in
live
action?
That's the type of security we need.
Alabama needs to sign her.
Someone does, because she was on it, and was it a she?
It was a she, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a she, security guard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shouts to her.
Yeah.
We need more of that. I don't understand why at a live comedy show with that many celebrities, there is not security standing in front of the stage. It's insane to me.
Yeah. It's like a festival kind of setting, too. So there's constant big-name comedians coming on and off. Performers, musical artists, you would think that there would be
pregnant Rihanna was there, and we need to protect Rihanna at all costs.
At all costs.
That's player haters ball, y'all. Just more security, please. At events like that, I feel.
At events like that.
Yeah, not
like, in general.
Not in general. It can be a real hassle at times.
When I'm trying to storm the stage.
I did want to ask you, so John's claim to fame on the show is you once went 71%, I want to say, on your college football picks for an entire season on the show, doing five picks a week minimum, and usually threw in a bonus or two, and you went 71%, which is absolutely insane. That's a heater very few gamblers have ever been on, and I mean, the NFL was not so kind to you, but
pretty much lost it all back.
Yeah, but you did really, really well on college football. And I just kind of wanted to talk about how the landscape has shifted so much in such a short amount of time and just get kind of your take overall. Obviously, the transfer portal has changed where players no longer need to sit out a season. You no longer need a state cause to transfer. You could just say, I don't want to be here anymore and I want to transfer. And obviously, NIL is hardly regulated and schools still aren't having to share any of the revenue with the players. So with all this change, all the landscape changing in college football in particular, anywhere you want to go with that, I would love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's opened up the floodgates. NIL, essentially 5 years ago, it was, Mr. Bagman. They would be giving these families, in the middle of nowhere in the South, these duffel bags full of money to get them to go to these schools. Now you have it blanketed by the NIL, and these guys. I mean, you're starting to see after a couple years of this, you're starting to see players being recruited in off seasons that maybe, the 5-star, 4-star recruits that thought they were going to Ohio State to start did not end up starting, and now they're getting recruited by other colleges, under the table to say, hey, enter the transfer portal. We have all these deals waiting for you.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we just saw it with college basketball. Kansas State point guard is going to Miami for an undisclosed, apparent, it was supposed to be undisclosed, but leaked information saw that it was $400,000 for the year and a car. So, like, it And apparently it's hairy because some of these kids are getting these deals before they're entering the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So where do you kind of draw? I'm, don't get me wrong. I am all for these athletes getting their money by all means. But it's turned the collegiate sport into something more of like a minor league system, which is fine to me. But I think over the years, we're going to stop seeing that. Almost kind of how we start to have seen that drop off in the NBA with star talent and player fans, where you don't really see diehard franchise fans anymore, right? You know, that LeBron's my favorite player, Durant's my favorite player, and so they kind of follow them where they go. And I think you're going to start to see that in college football with some of these Heisman Trophy winners or, you know, some of these big-name recruits that are going to be transferring from Alabama because they're not getting time. And so you're just going to start to see this wave. Honestly, I'm really excited for it. To long story short, I'm really excited because you're going to see a chance at these five-star recruits that never were able to get that chance when they went to Miami or they went to Ohio State or Alabama. And now you're going to start to see these kids go elsewhere. I mean, Malik Willis is a perfect example.
Yep.
You know, he was at LSU, didn't have a great run his freshman year or sophomore year when he got in. Transferred to a smaller school and became the it factor. And, you know, whether he fell short in the draft or not, I still think that that's, you know, a player that maybe would have never even got to the NFL if it weren't for that transfer portal and being able to go to another school. So
totally agree. And then you see these shell companies popping up, like Texas A&M this year all of a sudden has a number one recruiting class. They had eight five-star recruits that committed and 19 four-star recruits that committed. That's insane. And you see all these companies all of a sudden being formed by boosters to basically be able to legally pay these kids. That's all it is. Instead of bringing them a bag, they form these LLCs that do Lord knows what is their actual business, right?
When you have some like the Michigans, you have some of these prominent universities where you have, you know, these huge, successful billionaire, entrepreneur, salesman, you know, whatever corporate industry that they went into that are still alumni and booster. And like you said, they're creating, you know, whether it's their own brand. I know the University of Miami has a booster that has pretty much just given his startup to players, you know, giving them stock options and stuff like that, where it's, you kind of look at it as like, how is this legal as far as a revenue stream? But that's kind of what the NIL has opened the door for is this kind of underworld, like you said, shell company type organizations where these kids are just getting these funneled, you know, bags like they were originally. But now it's okay.
Yeah, it's just slightly less shady now.
What I hate the most is the coaches being still on the guard of trying to protect the integrity of college football and the institution. Where
that's gone. That's dead.
I hate Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and all these guys coming out that say, oh, we don't pay for this. They want to come because this is a great school. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might be a prestigious university that you're going to, you know, meet some great connections and have a great program that's going to get you to the next level. But at the same time, let's not get it twisted. No one's going to Tennessee has a top five recruiting class this year. No one's going to Tennessee in the last 10 years before NIL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now they're all of a sudden getting five-star quarterbacks. They're shelling out money. You know, it's they've finally got an even playing field where it's an uncapped salary, essentially. Uncapped salary.
Yeah.
Where they can just give every single player that they really need that next kind of boost to get him to come to that school.
Well, Bryce Young, the starting quarterback for Alabama, reportedly was paid $1 million before he even started a game for Alabama. So it's just opening the floodgates. I did want to mention real quick, since you and I both root for Texas, Texas this past year had zero NFL players drafted. Zero. Zero players drafted.
The first time in the history of the NFL draft.
30 players that were drafted this year were born and raised in Texas. That's crazy to think about. And none of them went to the brand name in Texas, being UT.
Damn.
So UT's got some work to do. But yeah. UT currently is ranked number 5 this year as far as their recruiting class.
They got a transfer portal, a 5-star. The number one quarterback recruit in 2021 from Ohio State just transferred back home to University of Texas. They have a Heisman Trophy candidate and a running back coming back for his sophomore year. We say this every year as Texas fans, you know, they have a really good nucleus. But I still think they're a 7-7 or a 5-7 team. It's going to only get worse because, 2023 or 2024, they're going to the SEC with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We all know that competition. So,
yeah.
But they have the money as well. You know, those boosters at UT, I mean, they're going to step up like Texas A&M, like the Alabamas, LSUs. They're going to step up like all those schools eventually. So,
and if the schools just wanted to figure out some revenue split with the student athletes, they could get this NIL thing under control pretty quickly. And also understand the NCAA is not the overseers of NIL. Each individual school is, and that creates a whole list of issues in and of itself. Yeah. So every school is playing by whatever rules they deem fit for their own school and their own recruiting purposes.
But interesting enough, too, because college football, you can have a freshman come in and start and be a difference maker, the Bryce Youngs, you know, even in college basketball. Yeah. But I think what the shift in college basketball that we're going to start to see is those one and done kids, you know, they're not going to be highly recruited that much anymore. Right. Like, I mean, obviously the generational guys will be. But when you know that this guy is going to be his freshman year and be gone, you're going to be looking to that transfer portal for those juniors, those fifth-year seniors that are coming from big programs that didn't have, you know, court time and transfer into your school to, you know, to make those runs deep into the March Madness tournament. We saw that with Miami this year. I mean, Miami making that Elite Eight, they had 4 or 5 senior transfers this year, you know, so
I think one and dones will always be a thing. I think they'll always, if you're
that
good.
But as far as recruiting goes now, right? You know, you're not going to put so much eggs in that basket to try to recruit that one kid.
Yeah, you're not going to see the Kentuckys where they have 4 or 5 guys that are going to be gone the next year.
Well, and you now see the groundwork, don't you, for a Super League in both college football and basketball, where these elite programs, they're making so much money that right now, why? There's going to be less and less incentive to spread the money out. And there's going to be more and more incentive for the SEC, for the Big Ten, for the Pac-12 to break off and form a Super League of 30 or 40 teams. And they make all the money. Meanwhile, these other schools, you know, these smaller schools, these mid-majors, are kind of left to fend for themselves. But I love that the kids are finally getting paid. I think that, yeah, it's probably a little out of control, but until these schools want to start to give some money out of their own pockets, I think, yeah, let it be the Wild West. Just let it go. Because if you're not going to want to give up any of your power or any of your money, which no one ever does, then you got to live with the results. So, all right. Well, I got a quick grinds my gears. Can we do it real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know what really grinds my gears?
In the year 2022, parking meters that don't accept card or Apple Pay, there's a freaking coin shortage. I'm being responsible. I'm saving up my coins. That quarter is going to be worth a quarter and a half before too long. Just you wait and watch, all right? Stop taking my quarters. Now I'm having to drive around further because there's no, you don't accept freaking cards. 2022. I can pay with my phone most places. Also, the service charge at bars really annoys me, but I get it. Oh, 3%. If I go out and have a night on the town, I'm paying 20, 30 bucks in a service charge.
Yeah.
But I get it. You know, support small business, yo.
Yeah, do that.
Good having you back, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, great having you back.
All right, that's going to do it for us. You know, we'll be back in a week. Derek might be here. Rudy might be here. Who knows? JJ, appreciate you sitting in. And how are your Celtics doing?
Down by five in the fourth quarter. Can I say something that grinds my gears?
Yeah, jump in. What grinds your gears?
NBA coaches not wearing a shirt and tie.
Yeah.
Oh,